From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, November 22nd. I'm Abby Larico. Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Costas will be honored with the Stan Musial Lifetime Achievement Award for sportsmanship this weekend. He says it's among the most meaningful recognitions he's ever received.
Because it's St. Louis, because it's Stan, because it has a baseball connection, all those things resonate with me.
A conversation with Bob Costas, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The number of people sickened in an E. coli outbreak in St. Louis County continues to grow. KSDK reports at least 106 people have fallen ill, with two of those developing a rare but serious kidney complication. The St. Louis County Health Department says people who've tested positive attended events hosted or catered by Andre South, pointing to possibly contaminated salads as the potential source of the outbreak. More than half of those affected were associated with Rockwood Summit High School. This week, a parent sued the business after she claims her child sought emergency care for food poisoning. The owner of the company has denied it is behind the outbreak. St. Louis attorneys are suing SSM Health and a pediatrician on behalf of more than 30 patients who say the doctors sexually abused them while they sought medical care. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports the lawyers claim the health system was negligent and should have protected patients from the doctor.
Lawyers claim Dr. Craig Spiegel abused dozens of patients over more than a decade while working on the premises of SSM Health DePaul Hospital in Bridgeton. They say the health system didn't take action when people told them about the abuse. An SSM spokeswoman says Spiegel never worked for SSM, but leased the space in a building near the hospital from a third party. A former patient named Mallory, who's a plaintiff in the suit, says she wants other assault survivors to know they're not alone.
What you endured is important and shouldn't be brushed under the rug. Abusers should be held accountable for their actions, and it starts with us.
Three other lawsuits claiming Spiegel sexually abused patients have been filed this year in St. Louis County Circuit Court. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri clergy members who sued to overturn the state's abortion ban say they're dropping the lawsuit after voters approved a measure putting language in the state constitution legalizing the procedure. More than a dozen religious leaders filed suit in 2023, claiming Missouri's near-total abortion ban violated the state's constitution by using religious language. The newly passed Amendment 3 reverses the state's ban. It guarantees the right to an abortion and the ability to make other reproductive decisions. Lawyers from Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the National Women's Law Center represented the group. The coalition had appealed a ruling from a St. Louis judge that ruled the ban did not violate the law. Federal prosecutors have accused a former board president at Circus Flora of stealing $120,000 from the nonprofit. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman reports.
A federal indictment handed down Wednesday says former Circus Flora board president George Pace opened up a credit card in his name connected to the nonprofit's accounts and used it to pay for personal expenses. He also deposited thousands of dollars meant to repay a loan the circus had taken out to survive the pandemic, as well as checks from donors, into his personal account. Circus Flora said in a statement it became aware of the theft in late 2023 and immediately hired an attorney. It says it has taken steps to make sure something similar does not happen again. Pace is also accused of fraudulently applying for federal pandemic relief for small businesses. He did not have an attorney listed in court records, and a call to a phone number connected to him was not returned. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell has backed off an effort to oust a Republican councilman from the county council. Bell's office filed a motion Thursday to dismiss a quo warranto petition against 3rd District Councilman Dennis Hancock of Fenton. He had been accused of hiring his stepdaughter in violation of the state's nepotism ban. Prosecutors say they are still investigating the case and could refile. Hancock says they should have done that before attempting to throw him out of office. Illinois lawmakers' two-week fall session has come and gone, with not a lot to show for it. Alex Degman reports.
Analysts predicted that much of the legislature's unfinished business would get punted to January, and they were right. The Senate gave final passage to what's called the Dignity and Pay Act, eliminating the subminimum wage for workers with disabilities. But other matters, like Karina's bill, a ban on modified hemp products, and a so-called medical aid in dying measure were not considered. The State House and Senate are scheduled to come back to Springfield once more before this two-year term ends for good. They'll have a lame duck session for a few days starting January 2nd, and the new General Assembly gets sworn in on the 8th. But House Republican leader Tony McCombie says there shouldn't be a lame duck session. In a statement, she said Democrats don't need more time to, quote, dream up harmful legislation. I'm Alex Dagman.
The oldest man-made structure in St. Louis is closer than ever to being back in the hands of the Osage Nation. Sugarloaf Mound was built by indigenous people who were displaced by European settlers. Thanks to a recent land transfer between the Osage Nation and a homeowner, the tribe is a step closer to reclaiming it. James McAnally is executive director for the Counter Public Arts Organization. It facilitated the transfer.
Once the land is back in possession, the Osage Nation, they'll be able to actually begin that process of restoration with the eventual goal that they have a stated interest to have kind of a Native-led Osage interpretive center at the site.
McAnally says Counter Public and the Osage Nation have had positive communication with the remaining homeowner. The nonprofit Arch Grants has announced the 20 startups it's supporting with close to $2 million in funding. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the nonprofit sees the awardees in this year's cohort as having a good chance of growth and success in the region.
Awardees already based in St. Louis will receive $75,000, and those from outside the region will get $100,000. The grants are contingent on each company locating its headquarters in St. Louis for at least 1 year. Gabe Angieri is Arch Grants executive director. He says there were more applicants for this year's cohort than in the past, and more local companies that made it to the final rounds of the process as well.
We will continue to take the best companies from outside of St. Louis, but we're increasing that standard and saying you really have to demonstrate why St. Louis is the right place for your company to grow.
And Jerry says the application quality this year reflects how the St. Louis startup ecosystem is maturing. The majority of this year's cohort was already established in the region. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Broadcaster Bob Costas has been on sports' biggest stages. Before he called the NBA Finals, the World Series, the Olympics, he was a broadcaster in St. Louis. Costas is back in town to receive a major award. He begins his conversation with St. Louis on the Air's Alex Hoyer, talking about how his college friend suggested he apply to be the play-by-play voice of the Spirits of St. Louis basketball team 50 years ago.
I found something that I did on the campus station when I was 19 or 20. And I listened to it, and it was better than I thought. But I had someone edit out the choppy parts and then string together the calls that seemed smooth. And if there were any references to the score that was out of sequence, we edited that out. So it seemed like one continuous 10 minutes or so. And then I had him re-record it with the bass slightly up and the treble slightly down so I would sound older and a bit more authoritative. And we sent it off to KMOX, and somehow they liked it. And I guess they whittled it down to a handful of possibilities, and they brought me into St. Louis for an interview. And I spoke with Jack Buck and with Bob Hyland, who ran the station at that time, and I was well aware, as a young student of the history of sports broadcasting, I was well aware that KMOX was not just a prestigious radio station, but it was a sports broadcasting mecca, that Joe Garagiola had been there and Harry Carey had been there, and of course Jack Buck had been there, and Dan Kelly, who was the premier hockey announcer of his day, and on and on. And I thought, well, I'll just meet these people and it'll be a good connection somewhere along the line. And lo and behold, they hired me. Perhaps the fact that I was willing to work for their initial offer of $11,000 a year, to which my thought was, if I had $11,000 and I had to pay you the 11 grand for the job, I would. So naturally, I accepted.
Now, the Spirits of St. Louis didn't last. The team didn't survive the merger with the NBA.
Right.
But you lasted.
Yes.
And stayed at KMOX for several more years. What did you do at KMOX outside of basketball?
Well, they liked me, and so Mr. Hyland wanted to keep me around. I immediately shifted to Missouri basketball. They have very good teams in the 70s and early 80s coached by Norm Stewart. So I did Missouri basketball, and then I also hosted sports talk programs and was involved in some non-sports stuff. Jack Carney was a legendary morning man on KMOX, did an entertainment and kind of politics, anything, just a combination of whatever interested him. And sometimes he would have me on his show. And it was all kind of a laboratory for learning how to be a broadcaster. I think it's much easier. It's not easy at all, but it's a little less difficult to go from radio to television than it would be to go from television to radio. Because on radio, you have to paint the entire picture. It's a blank canvas. On television, if we're talking about a sports broadcast, you're complementing the picture or putting a caption beneath the picture. The whole theater of the mind that is radio at its best, KMOX exemplified that. And I was immersed in that. And I learned a lot by osmosis from all the people who surrounded me. I never consciously copied any of them, but I was influenced by them, influenced for the better.
You are back here in St. Louis mm-hmm. to receive the Musial Awards, yeah. Stan Musial Lifetime Achievement Award for Sportsmanship. That's this Saturday evening at Stiefel Theater. You knew Stan Musial.
I did.
Who is so beloved here in St. Louis.
Yes.
You've received a lot of awards over the course of your mm-hmm. career, but what does it mean to receive this award?
The two awards that are most important to me, not diminishing any of the others, I appreciate them all, but being inducted into the Broadcaster's Wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2018 in Cooperstown, and now this. Because it's St. Louis, because it's Stan, because it has a baseball connection, all those things resonate with me. So those two are the most important to me.
Before he died in 2013, Stan Musial had asked you to speak at his funeral, and mm-hmm. you gave one of the best eulogies I've ever heard.
Thank you.
I re-listened to it earlier this week as I was driving into work,
somebody
would have looked over, they would have been like, what's wrong with that guy? because I had tears in my eyes. Here's a section of that.
He came out of an era when the game provided not just excitement, but romance. And he remained the perfect embodiment of baseball in the city where baseball matters most. The genuine hero who, as the years and decades passed and disillusionment came from other directions, never once let us down. And here at home, where it mattered most, we got it. We understood that it's more important to be appreciated than to be glorified, to be respected than to be celebrated, to be understood and loved than to be idolized, and that friendship is more important than fame.
That's Bob Costas eulogizing Stan Musial in 2013. What did it mean to you to give that speech?
It was all the more meaningful because as I looked out over the people in attendance at the church, I saw so many people I knew. So there was a personal connection there. Part of the eulogy, I mentioned Mickey Mantle staying at our home in St. Louis prior to a charity event for the Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. And Stan and his wife, Lil, coming over for dinner at my invitation because I wanted Mickey to feel comfortable, have someone he knew. And so I was telling a story about Mickey and Stan. My daughter, Taylor, went to school with one of Stan's grandchildren, Lindsay, from kindergarten all the way through high school graduation. They were in the same class the whole time. And there was an anecdote about their friendship. It was different than eulogizing Mickey Mantle in Dallas. On both occasions, I tried to speak not just for myself, but for those who had a feeling for Mantle or for Musial. But it was more deeply personal, actually, in St. Louis. I was able to keep my composure, as emotional as it was, in Dallas for the Mantle eulogy. But I kind of got choked up a couple of times with the Musial eulogy. Not just because of you're struck by just how deeply decent he was. You know, everyone has different emotional triggers. I get choked up when you hear about something that's decent and kind, more so than I do hearing about something that's sad. That's just me. It's not conscious. It's involuntary. And so I did get choked up a couple of times with the Musial thing.
That was broadcaster Bob Costas speaking with Alex Hoyer. You can hear more of their conversation, because we know you want to hear more of that conversation, on our website, stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend.